No pressure. All right, let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you very much that you are with us and you go before us. I thank you, Lord, that we have your word. Lord, it is such a precious gift to us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak now your word to the women who are here and that you would get me out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you're going to see kids' ministries coming into the sanctuary tonight or wherever we are today. I figured this might not hurt because, you know, our food is digesting at this point, and so a little activity might help you stay awake. So before we actually get started in the passage, you should have all received one of these from my wonderful friends I just met at the table back there. Thank you so much for helping me out. So the way this works is you're going to take this piece of paper and lay the words where it says silver on the table, and then you're going to fold it on the dotted lines so that the triangle fills the little triangle space. See that? Oops, sorry, microphone. I'm not used to teaching with a microphone. So as you finish preparing those, I'm just going to let you know that, well, we'll start with this. Our passage is Genesis 43, 15 to all of chapter 44, and the color is silver. Silver represents mystery and transformation. So we are solving some mysteries today in this passage, and so therefore we have our mysteries, and you're going to hide your solution inside the little flap as we get to it. Now, it's up to you whether you actually write in the solution to the mystery or not. If you're like a note taker and that's going to distract you, please don't do it. But if you're falling asleep and this will help you stay awake, here you go. You can hide your little solutions in your foldable there. I'm trying to remember what else I was going to say. So we're going to get to our passage. So remember our context. Jacob reluctantly, but out of necessity, had consented to send Benjamin to Egypt with his brothers. So the men, we're starting in chapter 43, verse 15, it says, so the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Joseph saw that Benjamin was with his brothers this time, so he began to set some plans into action to continue and deepen the test that he began at their last visit, a test to see if his brothers were ready to be reconciled. He wanted to know if his brothers had changed. Would his brothers do the same thing to him again if they had the opportunity? He couldn't test that with himself in the position he was in now, but he could test that with another favored son. It was a test to see if his brothers were transformed. Silver stands for mystery and transformation. So continuing in verse 17, it says, then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. For the brothers, this was mysterious. So here's our mystery number one. Why did the Egyptian leader bring the brothers into his house? Well, what clues did the brothers have? They have three clues from the last time they came to Egypt. The last time they came, this man was harsh and accusatory. Last time they came, this Egyptian leader took Simeon and kept him in prison. Clue number three, the money that they used to buy the grain last time was returned in their sacks, so it's as though they never paid for the grain they received. Well, with those three clues, the brothers' solution is revealed to us in verse 18. They come up with, now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and fall upon us to take us as slaves with our donkeys. So this was not the correct solution to the mystery, but they have concluded that they are in big trouble. So they go to the steward and try to explain that we got our money back last time, We didn't mean to take it back with us. We are so sorry. We've brought it back to you. And we brought more so we can buy some more food. So then in the next few verses, the steward responds to them, and we see some clues that bring us to the actual solution to our first mystery. The steward lets them know he received their original payment. They're not in trouble for having their money go back with them. They find out that Simeon is returned to them. So there's another clue. They find out that they are going to get water to drink. So another clue, they get water to drink. Another clue is that their feet are washed. Another clue is that they receive feed for their donkeys. And the last clue is that they heard that they would be able to eat there with this Egyptian leader. So the brothers' solution was incorrect. Their solution was that judgment and condemnation were coming to them from this Egyptian leader. But instead, the true solution is that they were coming to this leader for him to bless them and to eat with them. How many of us were, or even still are, afraid we're in trouble with God? We're afraid to be brought near to him. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." Praise God, we can approach him through Jesus. When Joseph came home where the brothers now were, the brothers gave their gift to him and updated them on their father because he asked about him. And we pick up in chapter 43, verse 29. "Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, 'Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?' And he said, 'God be gracious to you, my son.' Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there." So I wondered, why did Joseph weep this time and not when he saw Benjamin at the beginning of this passage? Well, in verse 16, when Joseph saw Benjamin, the word "saw" there is just that he observed him. He looked upon him. He saw that he was there. He noticed Benjamin was with them, and he set his plans into motion. This time in verse 29, the word "saw" means gazed at, considered, gave attention to. Joseph really started to think about his brother whom he loved. He had been separated from him for 22 years. Benjamin was most likely about 10 years old when Joseph was sold into slavery. Now he's about 32. He has a family of his own. Joseph has missed all of that. He's missed this with his special brother. So as he reflected on Benjamin, he became overwhelmed with emotion and went away to cry. Joseph was a real person. He's not just a story. He dealt with the same emotions you and I have. In verses 31 through 33, Joseph returned and had everyone seated for dinner. Shockingly, the brothers were seated in order from oldest to youngest. That brings us to mystery number two. How in the world did this Egyptian leader seat the brothers in order from oldest to youngest? The brothers are astonished. They have no idea how this could happen. What are the odds? Okay, I don't know how to calculate odds, but if I did the math right, and Jessica, you can let me know, there are 39,916,800 different ways in which 11 people could be arranged. So, what are the odds that this stranger can seat these 11 men from oldest to youngest? Well, for the brothers, this is a mystery. How in the world are we being seated this way? But Moses, the author of Genesis, gives us insight into knowing what's happening. How were they seated in order? Because this Egyptian leader is their long-lost brother Joseph that they sold into slavery. Now we continue in chapter 43, verse 34. "Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him." Mystery number three. How would the brothers respond when Benjamin was shown special favor? Had there been any transformation? Well, at this point, we only get one clue, and that is they drank and were merry with Joseph. Do we see any jealousy? We're not shown any. So there may have been some transformation at this point. Chapter 44, verse 1 says, "And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, 'Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of the sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money.' So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken." So now we come to mystery number four, where we spend most of the time in this passage. How would the brothers respond when Benjamin was accused of a crime? And the real key mystery of this passage, the main purpose for Joseph's test, had his brothers truly been transformed? So we pick up in chapter 44, verse 3. We're going to read it through verse 10. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city, they were not far off. They were not yet far off. Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing.' So he overtook them and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, 'Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be your Lord's slaves.' And he said, 'Now also let it be according to your words, he with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless.'" The brothers suggested that anyone with whom the cup was found should be killed, and all the rest of the brothers would be slaves in Egypt. The steward adjusted the consequences from what the brothers suggested, saying only that the one with the cup would need to be a slave and the rest could be set free. So he was giving the brothers an out. Any brother who did not have the cup would be free. In the middle of mystery number 4, we have an extra little mystery. Where is the missing cup? Well, we know who has the cup because the Bible told us, but the brothers have no idea where this cup is. So I want to help you imagine just a little bit of what it was like for the brothers in the moment of mystery, wondering who has the cup. So, don't open it yet, but you should all have an envelope that was handed out to you at your table. So get that envelope. Don't open it yet. Does everybody have an envelope? All right. Don't open it yet. Now, imagine you are one of the brothers, and this envelope is your sack, okay? You expect to see grain in your sack. You really hope to only see grain in your sack, right? What is the thing you most fear seeing in your sack? A silver cup. Okay. So now I promise I'm not taking anyone home as a slave. But if you have the picture of the silver cup in your envelope, you need to come up here on stage with me in front of everybody. So as you're opening your envelopes there, what do you see in your envelopes? You want to see grain. Do you have anything other than grain? Oh, you all have silver in your cup. Wait a minute. Why do you have silver in your sacks? Every one of you took my silver too? Oh, but no, that's okay. Anyways, you've dealt with that before. You got silver back in your sacks. But who has the silver cup? I see a hand raised. Is that you? Do you have the silver cup? Come here. Come here. I'd come to you, but there's a microphone. I'm not used to having to teach at a microphone, so you get to come all the way to me. So, in exchange for your silver cup, I give you a cup of coffee at K-Brew.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. So, in that moment, this is a very small comparison, but how did you feel knowing you might have to come up here? Some of you are like, whatever, cool. Some of you are probably like, panic, I have to go up there in front of everybody. So I want you to take that and imagine how the brothers felt. In that moment, they open their sacks and they already see that, wait, we got our money back again. Like every one of you, right? You had your money back. So we have our grain, we have our money back again. And we're getting to now in our passage what happens to Benjamin. But that feeling and that emotion of that moment, in those raw emotions is where we often see the true status of our hearts. So when the brothers sold Joseph so many years before, they seemed to have no remorse. They didn't care that they abandoned their brother who'd received special favor. Benjamin was now the favored son. How would the brothers respond when their lives, or at least their ability to live in freedom and to return to their families, were at stake. How would they respond when Benjamin was about to face judgment and the authorities said they were free to go? Had they truly been transformed? So we're going to see what happens when they open their sacks. Chapter 44, verse 11. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So here's clue number one to mystery number four. The brothers tore their clothes in grief and went back to Egypt with Benjamin. They didn't say goodbye and head home without him. Had they truly been transformed? Well, we see there's been at least some transformation. Now we go on in verse 14. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." Had they truly been transformed? Clue number two, the brothers humbled themselves. They admitted their sinfulness, even though they were not guilty of this specific sin of stealing the cup, and they gave themselves to be the servants of this Egyptian leader. Previously, they had sold Joseph as a slave. Now, they were offering themselves to be slaves. That was a change. Verse 17 says, "But he said, 'Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father.'" So Joseph gave them another chance to let the favored son hang out to dry. Would they abandon him, or had they truly been transformed? In verses 18 through 29, Judah humbly came before this Egyptian leader and explained Benjamin's importance to their dad. He explained that their dad had reluctantly and only out of necessity allowed them to bring Benjamin with them. And then Judah added in verse 30, "Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave." Has there been transformation? Clue number three, Judah expressed genuine concern for the grief his father would experience if Benjamin did not return home. And then in verse 32, Judah says, "For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?" Judah had previously led the way in selling Joseph with no apparent remorse or concern for his father. Now, clue number four, Judah was willing to sacrifice himself and give up everything to protect Benjamin, the favored son, and Jacob, his father. The solution to mystery number four: when Benjamin was accused of a crime, the brothers would stay with him, and Judah was even willing to give his life for Benjamin's. The brothers had truly been transformed. Tests will come into our lives that show us the true state of our hearts. Be honest with the Lord about what you see. Praise him for the work of transformation he's already begun in you, and ask him to help you to grow in the areas where he reveals more work needs to be done. And remember, God is also working in the lives of those we love. If God could transform Joseph's brothers, he can transform us and the people we love as well. Don't give up hope. God is at work in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the work that you do in our lives and in the lives of those we love. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that work in us and in them. In Jesus' name, amen.